This is Craig from The Res, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man with Captain Phil Vecchio.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
It's still hot in here. Yeah. Although we did just turn on the air conditioning for a little while.
That helped a little bit.
In between episodes.
Kind of cooled things
cooled
off.
Cooled it time. Off. And we got a cool beverage.
Yes.
And we need to talk about Comic-Con Palm Springs.
That's right. We finally have a schedule.
It's a little bit over a week away.
Yeah. Well, by the time you're hearing this, right, right.
And it'll be next, so the 26th to the 28th.
Right. I'm going to pull up the schedule here so we can talk about it.
You know what else is this weekend that I'm not going to be able to watch live?
What's that?
This happened last year, too. I'm going to be at the Shrine Con. Although it's not at the Shrine, it's at the Reef.
Right.
Everybody come check it out on the 21st. Me and Derek and Lindy are going to be at the Reef in Los Angeles. Comic Book Sci-Fi. Is it comicbooksci-fi.com? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
The LA Comic Book Sci-Fi Convention. We're going to be there. But it's also the same day as SummerSlam.
Oh, man.
But I'll rush home and then watch it. That's what happened last year.
That's good. You can do that.
It's fine.
You can skip commercials that way.
Yeah, but it is 4 hours long, so it might be a late night.
Got to watch it, though.
Definitely.
Speaking
of cons, I mean, Comic-Con Palm Springs.
We actually got
the schedule.
Got the schedule.
I got a quick rundown.
An hour before we came over here.
But you also have the other panels.
I do. So what we'll do like...
If you haven't bought a ticket yet...
This will get you into it.
And if you've already bought a ticket...
Here's what
this is like. This is a.
He sent it to me. I don't know if I have.
It's not online yet.
It's not out there. So the
maybe
guys,
by Thursday it'll be up there.
This is the exclusive. So if you're listening to it now, I don't know if I don't think I'll get in trouble. I don't know.
Don't tell anybody.
Whatever. It's an exclusive here. This is just for you guys. So we'll do kind of like we did for Comic-Con. I'm just going to read through them real quick because there's there's not near as much stuff. So I won't.
So on Friday there's no panels.
Yeah, they're going to do some activities like I don't know, like you know they have different cosplay things or whatever. There's the floor is going to be open, but they decided not to do panels on Friday, which originally they were going to do. So we rearranged some of our schedule and stuff, but we didn't have a whole lot planned on Friday anyway. Because everyone, you know, it's harder for people to get out there. So here's some things here. I'm just going to kind of go through their schedule.
You have your own Comic-Con app.
I do. I have my own, which is
a Word document
that I cut and pasted and then emailed to myself.
Oh my gosh.
So let's see. Here we go. Now, it's kind of blocked by different rooms, so I'm going to read through the schedule of each room.
Okay.
We have our own room that we're doing our stuff in here, but I'm going to start just the order I have it here. This is in the Smoke Tree A lounge.
So this is like different ballrooms in the hotel.
Right, right. So this ballroom
or in the convention center. Is it the convention center?
Well, there's the...
There's the hotel and the convention center.
Right, so some of it's
in the hotel.
Some
of it's in the hotel, some of it's in the convention center.
I haven't really looked at the map yet because I just got it, so I don't even know where ours is, but we'll have to look and see.
They do have a map on the website
now. But the schedule I got right before I came, so I didn't have time to compare and see where we're at.
It's for people at home.
Yes, yes. And hopefully the schedule will be up by then. I don't know. So let's see. We got Horror Writing 101 with Andrew Niederman. I'm not going to read all the descriptions. I'm just going to kind of go through it.
Horror Writing.
Flash Gordon Lives, a Q&A with star Sam Jones.
Yeah, dude. The Flash Gordon himself.
Yeah, it's going to be there.
He's going to be there. That's exciting. And I mean, do you think when he comes out, is it going to be the Queen song? I mean, come on.
I mean, we can only expect. Let's see.
That makes me think of Blades of Glory.
How the Rocketeer Took Flight.
Ooh.
With Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo. It's the guys that wrote the film.
Guys that wrote the actual movie?
It says, it says, how fans get a once-in-a-lifetime chance to find out what influenced the writers when creating this great film.
That's awesome.
There you go.
I'm going to go to that if I'm not doing something, which I probably am because apparently we're doing stuff
all day long. You're not going to panels. I hope you weren't planning on except ours. I mean, you're going to our panels. Let's see. In the smoke tree B.
So now you're basically, this is all stuff I don't get to do.
You don't get to do any of this stuff.
Oh, man.
Unless you're going to, like, bail on something you're supposed to be involved in.
But what if it's something I'm not involved in? I'm
not involved in all these things.
Am I?
Yes. We have to support each other in this.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how to bail on everyone. All right. Let's see.
I didn't sign up on that agreement.
Over in the smoke tree B, we have the art of Tom Hodges, best known for his work in the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
Then we have Marvel Spotlight featuring Michael Golden, Scott Lobdell, Dan Panosian, Carlo Barberi.
Are those artists?
And Mike McCone, I think so.
Writers?
The comics. People who work behind the scenes and help bring your favorite characters to life.
There you go.
Okay. There's an adult sketch-off featuring Katie Cook, Sterling Gates, Marguerite Savage, Dan Panosian, and Dave Johnson. Oh, they're like sketching, like drawing sketches.
But they're adult sketches?
Well, they have one for kids and one for adults. So I think it's like, you know, they're allowed to, they're allowed to cuss and stuff, you know.
Okay.
Let's see. We have, now this is Smoke Tree C, so there's different like lounges here. We have Bob Guttann Q&A. He was a star in the film Shawshank Redemption, Argo, Ace Ventura, Nature Calls, Daredevil, and Demolition Man.
Trying to
I'm not sure, but that's a pretty good resume there. Oh, here we go. Surviving Hollywood from Child to Adult Actor with Lincoln Castellanos, Rochelle Davis, and Keith Coogan.
Oh, there you go.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
We have The Crow Creator and Cast Reunion with James O'Barr, Bai Ling, Rochelle Davis, and Anna Levine.
Bai Ling, wow.
That's pretty cool. I'm telling you, like, they got real stuff here. I think people, like, didn't know what to expect, but...
Remember that episode of Lost that Bai Ling was in that was very weird?
Which one was that?
When Jack got his tattoo in Thailand.
Oh, yeah. That was odd. We have The Key to an Amazing Con featuring Bob Shaw, Sam Jones, J.K. Woodward, and Leanna Vamp.
Okay.
How to put on a convention. Okay. That's interesting. Okay, now we have Smoke Tree D, which is another one.
Mm-hmm.
They got the kids sketch off with the same group of people there. So it's a, you know, safe for work type thing. You have behind the scenes with Mike Lee. He was named Variety Magazine, one of the top 10 screenwriters in 2015.
Wow.
I don't know.
Screenwriter.
What do you wrote here? Patient Zero.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Oh, top 10 screenwriters to watch. Like an upcoming one. So that's cool. Then we have DC Spotlight with Jason Inman featuring Philomenez, Yannick Paquette, Ali DeGarza, Sterling
Gates, and
Duncan Rulo.
I've heard of some of those people.
Yeah. We have a Q&A with actress Julia Nixon and Elpidia Carrillo. She's from Rambo First Blood, and the other one is from Predator.
There
that's
you go.
Cool. All right. Then Smoke Tree E is another one. We got Writing Rick and Morty with Sarah Carbiner and Erica Rosby.
That's cool.
So writers Rick on Rick and Morty there. Then we have From Paper to Film featuring Mark R. Harris, Peter Winther, Chuck Kim, Charles Everett, and Jimmy Van Patten. Talks about adapting comics to big screen stuff. How to take an idea from script to pre and post-production. We have Women in Film and Entertainment.
Nice.
Kim Waltrip, Marina Domke, Althea Root, Kate Ornsney, and Audrey Loggia.
I don't know who those people are.
I don't know
are.
Who that is, but I'm sure it's good. Oh, here's a good one.
She's related to Robert Loggia?
Could be. Spelled the same.
There you go.
Behind the Mic, a one-on-one with your favorite voice actors and actresses. These are always good.
Yeah.
Jason Spisak, Carlos Ferro, Sandy Fox, Katie Lee, and Susie Eisenberg. It doesn't, on this list I have, it doesn't say like what they've done. It's not, it's not that type of thing. Now, over in Mesquite D, and it says on the list, aka Podcast Central.
Nice.
This is us here.
That's us.
So now it's not
basically where we're going to be hanging out.
90% of it is us. There are a couple of things in there, and not all of them are podcasts. There's a couple of things. So from 10:30 to 11:30, well, I'm not going to read all the times because that you guys don't need to know that, but it's for an hour.
What if they want to know?
I guess so. We're starting at 10:30 with the Webcomics Advocates Present Webcomics Gathering. So we're
starting off
with our classic. It's not a podcast. And then
Josh is just like, wait, I have to be somewhere at 10:30 on Saturday.
10:30 on Saturday. That's not too bad. The floor opens at 10, so we're like a half an hour in. But see, that's why it's. I started out with the like one we've done a bunch because that's, you know.
Is that like, are we doing our full classic lineup?
That's the classic lineup with
Josh, me,
Brendan,
Patrick,
and Josh is moderating. Then 11:30. This is not on the website. This is exclusive to my phone right now.
This is why I wanted the schedule, Phil.
Josh, I just got it. I got this schedule like less than an hour before the thing started today. So, but see, there's a lot of breaks there. Like you can do that and then go back to bed because you don't have to, you know. So 11:30 to 12:30.
Why does Josh get to leave?
Because you're the host of the show with me. Okay. 11:30 to 12:30. Yes, I'm going to be sending this all this information out to everybody tonight. I literally got this less than an hour before we recorded tonight, so I didn't have a chance to tell everyone.
Phil has had this for 3 months. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, sitting on it, you know.
He has been sitting on it.
So then we got Kids Create Characters is Patrick Scullin.
Yeah.
He does his, like, drawing thing with kids. So he's going to be doing that. Then we have the How to Run a Successful Kickstarter for Your Podcast and Other Creative Endeavors. That's going to be hosted or moderated by Matt Benson.
At what point are, like, the people at this convention being like, this is just the same dudes over
and over? Not, though. Everyone is mixed. This one is a little bit of a repeat.
I know. I'm just...
But Matt Benson is moderating. You, me, and Patrick. And then we have Madeline Holly Rosing from
Andrew just was like, what if you're secretly the organizer of this convention?
Hey, you know what?
It's you.
That's fine. All I'm saying is we got our stuff in there. That's all. All
right. Who else is on this?
So it's you, me, Patrick.
Benson's moderating?
Benson's moderating.
Do you know this?
And we, yes.
Okay.
And we have Madeline Holly Rosing from Boston Metaphysical Society. So see, we're already mixed up there. Then
she's one of our, like, proteges.
The reason I have those back-to-back, by the way, is Patrick has to be, like, he said he had to
Patrick's
be gone.
Busy.
So that's,
He's a busy man.
That's how it worked. I tried to get everyone's schedules accommodated for.
Yeah.
Except Josh apparently doesn't want to get up in the morning. Josh. So... the podcast, then we have next, the Podcast Advocates present the podcast gathering. So this will be a similar thing to like our webcomics thing, but for podcasts. I'm going to moderate this one. You're going to be on it. Josh, Janelle, Cheryl Jones of Movies Made Me, Andrew Lindy, and Kat and Lizzie from their show.
There you go. The Blaze with Lizzie and Kat.
Lizzie
their
and Kat.
Their names are in the title of their show.
Little brain freeze.
You better remember.
I will. I know. I'm moderating. It's totally cool. What's your show again, guys? So that's going to be good. We'll do the same kind of like format for that. Then we got a little break from our stuff in there. They have DC All Access featuring Jason Inman. And they're going to be talking about upcoming DC stuff. And that actually goes for like an hour and a half.
There you go.
So
that'll be an hour and a half. I will.
That's when we get dinner, basically.
Maybe I'll get to go look at the show floor.
Now we get into our live podcasting stuff. We have from 4 to 5 p.m. Extra Damage with Josh Anderson and Jesse Seelan. Seelan? How do you say his last name?
I don't know.
All right. I'm not moderating that. I don't have to know.
He goes by Yukon Cornelius online.
I know.
Online.
So they're going to be doing their live show. Yes, good. They're doing their live show. Then there's another one that's not ours that's Inside the Legion of Leah with Jenna Bush.
That name sounds familiar.
She shares the inside scoop of what's happening in and around the world of comics, TV, and movies. That's cool. Then we have the Mandarin Orange Show live featuring Phil and Janelle Vecchio.
Hey.
That's exciting.
You guys got some big plans for your live show?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
Okay.
We're talking about kids. Talking about all kinds of stuff.
Dude, all you guys have to do to tear that house down is bring your kids up on stage.
Right? It's going to be amazing.
Is that happening?
They're going to be there. I don't see why not.
You got to bring them up.
We're going to show them off, sure.
What if... Can we borrow your children, too?
You want to use my kid power? And then finally, we'll be closing the night off.
Q&A with Audrey and Luke Vecchio.
Yeah. We can ask them questions if it's appropriate. We'll be closing the night off with a special concert with A Plus B featuring Josh Anderson and Rachel Anderson. And apparently it's going to be like a half panel, half live thing. So that's exciting.
It's exciting.
Very, very excited to see that. And that's Saturday. That's our schedule for Saturday.
Awesome.
Oh, wait. But then there's other stuff. Should I say the other things?
Yes.
Okay. In the other rooms, we've got Cosplay All-Stars in Mesquite E.
Here's all the stuff you shouldn't go to and you should go to our
stuff. That's right. So this one is like their cosplay room.
Okay.
They have a body confidence and positivity in cosplay one. Then there's cosplay 101.
There's a ton of cosplay stuff. If you're into cosplay, you're definitely going to want to go because like all the big cosplayers.
Yeah, there's a lot. They got cosplay stuff in there all day that way there.
Okay.
The LGBT cosplayer. Then we've got Mesquite G, another room, inside the Commercial Spaceflight Federation.
Ooh.
That's interesting. A member of the Mars One crew.
Oh, yeah, those are those guys that might be going to Mars and, yeah, and dying horrible deaths.
She's going to talk about the part she's been, or what she's been doing to prepare to be one of the first people from Earth to travel to Mars.
So that's still happening? Didn't, like, MIT or somebody run a simulation where they're, like, they're going to die?
I don't know. Then we have the cars of Comic-Con. Find out what it takes to care for and showcase epic rides.
You see, oh, yeah, those are those guys with, like, the Jurassic Park Jeep and all that stuff.
Inside the world of acting, writing, and directing.
Man.
With Charles Everett, Don Mancini, Jimmy Van Patten, Danielle Bisuti, Tristan Rogers, and Kate Orsini.
I've heard of some of those people, maybe.
And then finally, oh, not even finally, we have Wonder Woman 75th Anniversary Celebration. This is in the Grand Ballroom now.
Ooh.
So this is like their big one.
It's like Linda Carter going to be there or something?
No. Susan Eisenberg, Kat Staggs, Phil Jimenez, Amanda Diebert, and Yannick Paquette.
I guess those are people.
People that worked on Wonder Woman, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Then, also in the Grand Ballroom, you have the Stan Lee Q&A with the Godfather of Marvel Comics.
There you go. Stan Lee himself.
And it's a Q&A there, and that's the last
thing. He'll just be like, hello, spider friends.
That's it.
I'm getting pretty old.
This supposedly is like one of his last appearances, if not the last appearance.
James Gunn already said he's got an awesome cameo in Guardians 2.
Nice.
Wonder what his cameo, what's like his cameo gonna be in Doctor Strange? What if he's just like a puff of smoke and he's just like, pop, hey! I don't know.
He could, I suppose. Alright, so then we have Sunday. I gotta go back to the top here. Sunday.
And also remember that it's gonna be like, I guess, what else are we gonna do? We're not gonna wanna go outside.
You're not going anywhere.
I guess that's true.
Alright, so Sunday. Let's see. We have 12 Monkeys Unleashed.
What's that?
It's a writer and director of the show. Yeah.
I've heard the show is really good.
Featuring Sean Tretta. Marvel's Daredevil Villains and Allies reunite.
Ooh.
With Bob Guttann, Peter Shinkoda, and Tom Walker.
Peter Shinkoda is one of the dudes in the...
All three of these are from the Netflix series.
Peter Shinkoda is one of the foot dudes.
So they're all going to be there. It's the people who played Leland, Owsley, Nobu,
this is the TV show. Yeah, Nobu. The Nobu guy. He's going to be there. That's cool.
This is like a real thing.
Yeah.
Then we have The Birth of the Toxic Avenger with Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh, yeah. Lloyd Kaufman's going to be there. Talking about trauma.
We have Inside the Walking Dead shows with Lincoln Castellanos and Vincent M. Ward.
Okay.
They're like behind the scenes. It doesn't say what they do.
That's still
but behind
pretty
the
cool.
Then in another room, we have the My Little Pony crew rides again, with the creators behind the comic book.
That's cool.
Love that.
Doesn't Audrey have a bunch
Katie
of those?
Cook, yeah. Andy Price and Sarah Richard. Then we have one called Variant Covers and the Art of Crafting Them with Dave Johnson.
She liked variant covers.
That's very good. We have Iron Sky, a Q&A with writer Delon Musson.
Oh, that's that crazy... have you ever watched that movie?
No.
Oh, dude, it is nuts. You would love it.
He's talking about the sequel coming out.
Yeah, they have a new one.
Yep.
So it's this goofy, it's like a foreign movie where like the Nazis like come back from like outer space. Like seriously, after World War II, Hitler and the Nazis like hid in outer space and then they come back and take over the world. My brother made me watch it once at like 12 in the morning and I was like very hesitant, but then I was it was worth it. It's super goofy.
All right. Well,
it was on that. Dude, that's cool. Cause you should watch, you would like it, Phil. It's super goofy.
Sounds up my alley.
It's really stupid. It's really stupid.
See, then we have writing comic properties for cartoons with writer and producer Greg Weisman.
Okay. And then, I've heard that name.
Yeah, a lot of them are like, I know I've heard before. Smoketree, see, we have The Key to Producing Comedy with Kevin Shinnick. He worked at MAD and Cartoon Network.
There you go.
That's pretty cool. Zombie Art 101 with Arthur Suidam. He worked on Evil Dead something. Keeping the Evil Dead Alive, so I don't know, maybe like the newer movie, something like that. The art and mini projects of Jim Mahfood.
Yeah, I know who he did. He worked on the original Clerks comics. If anybody still remembers those, they were really good.
Then over in Smoketree D, we got another kid sketch one with Eddie D'Angelini's in this one.
Yeah, Eddie.
That's cool.
What's the name of his comic?
I can't remember. It's a clever name, though. Yeah. I can't remember what it is now.
He's also the owner of Heidi Ho Comics
yeah.
in the valley somewhere. Burbank area?
I think so, yeah. We got the epic art of Michael Golden. He helped to create Rogue, as well as the Micronauts.
Micronauts.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that just reminds me of something else I got. Okay, I got
Ah, Cortana, shut up.
I pulled up some videos for you.
we have the art of J.K. Woodward from Doctor Who to Star Trek and Beyond.
Okay.
I'm not sure what he does on that.
Doesn't Maybe the comics. There.
The epic fantasies of David Farland, who worked on the Rune Lords. I don't know what that is.
Rune Lords.
Then, okay, another room, we got Cartooning 101 with Dean Eagle.
Jim Mahfood also did, was it the Kick Puncher comic?
Oh, the Community comic.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the one that came in the box.
Yeah.
That's cool. We got Cartooning 101 with Chris Uminga, Andy Price, and Dean Eagle. Then we have Inside the Mind of Chris Uminga. So another one with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have The Wild and Weird World of the Perhepinauts with Craig Rousseau.
Perhepinauts?
Perhepinauts. Perhepinauts?
All right.
Perhepinauts, I think. All right.
Did you see that, like, IDW or somebody is doing, like, this crazy crossover where it's, like, Micronauts and Centurions and, like, all these, like, different toys from the 80s, and then they're, like, mashing
That's
them
cool.
together? It sounded kind of cool.
Ooh, we have Q&A with the writers of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Ooh. A movie? A new movie?
They helped create the show and also wrote a book.
Oh, a book? There's a book?
Apparently so.
Okay.
I don't know if it's out yet. It's kind of, again, this is like a rough copy. It's not like what's going to be finally
out. I want to find out more about that.
Now over in the Podcast Central, Mesquite D. You're going to like this. Starting off at 10 a.m. with the Benview Network presents Secrets of a Podcasting Empire. This one is going to be moderated by Andrew Lindy. It'll feature Brendan Creasy, Josh Anderson, David King, Matt Benson, and Jesse Seelen.
All right. Why are you not on that?
I was trying not to put myself in all of them. And
are you going to be there, though? You got to be there.
I'm going to be there.
You better be there.
I'm going to be there. Okay. But I'm trying to mix it up so it's not just me. If I put me on everything, then it's like, hey, I want to do a thing. Put me on 14 podcast panels. So I try to mix it up and keep different people on different stuff.
Okay.
So I'm not on this one, but I'll be there. You can, like, call out to me in the audience, but, you know. Anyway.
We're going to not do that.
Probably not. Then we have Women in Podcasting. This is moderated by Kayla Berry. It'll have Janelle Vecchio, Cheryl Jones of Movies Made Me, and then Lizzie and Kat.
Nice.
That'll be cool. They're going to talk about all their stuff. Then we have some live podcasts. At noon, we have Nerd's Eye View with Andrew Lindy and Jordan Scott. And guests. The guest is not on here.
To be announced.
He told me now. I'm going to see if we can get in there. I don't know. At what point they are in publishing stuff, so we'll see, but...
Who's the guest?
I don't know, he emailed me and I forget now.
Okay.
Because he said one of them can come and one can't, so we'll get into that. Maybe he can tell us in there. Then we have Radio Brendoman Live.
It's exciting.
1 p.m. with Phil Vecchio and Brendan Creasy.
You're going to want to be at this.
There's going to be some big stuff at this.
There is going to be some very big stuff.
We'll have a special guest join us.
We'll have a special guest who possibly... will be bringing something with him.
Yes.
To show.
Something very, very cool.
Something amazing.
Now, let's see. We have... And then we have The Blaze with Lizzie and Kat live.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to be at 2 p.m. And that's going to be fantastic. And they're going to be doing their good stuff. And then, finally, in the podcast world that we've brought there, we have Popsicles Live.
It'll be something...
Something, Brendan, possibly TBA, something else with Brendan.
Derek can't come.
Derek did bail. So, he was going to be in the podcast other one too, but then he's not going to be there. So.
Derek bailed, so it'll be me and Benson. So we got to figure out if we might do Popsicles, we might do MBWS.
Maybe a crossover.
Mashup. Yeah. I don't know.
So you got a time slot there. That's when you're going to be there.
I'm going to be doing something.
Something there.
Something's happening.
All right, the rest of the stuff here...
might end up being a Benview Megacast.
It might. That's cool. We got an hour at the end there, so, you know, we'll do what we're going to do. So that's our stuff.
It'll be a Mr. Brendo... What if it's an MBWS with Phil, and you could just be like, yeah.
I'll talk about wrestling. I don't know.
No, we should get you... We should talk about, like, things that you have watched, like No Holds Barred.
Yeah, I watched that, like, 15 years ago. I don't think I have a lot of
content. You didn't watch No Holds Barred 15 years ago.
Yeah, I watched that, like...
We watched it super recently.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. See, this is going to be me on your podcast. I don't know. What's the one that... The Dookie. David Arquette one.
Oh, that's Ready to Rumble.
See, they all blend
that
together.
That movie's terrible.
All right.
At least No Holds Barred is funny.
No, okay, that one's great.
Ready to Rumble isn't even funny.
All right, let's see. We got in Mesquite E, we have Ross O'Donovan and Holly Conrad. They're going to talk... Oh, they're talking about cosplay.
Oh, is it cosplay?
This is the other cosplay one. Le Geek So Chic, Everyday Nerd Fashion, Spandex 101.
Henry Smith says Ready to Rumble is amazing. I guess it's amazing in its own insane way. I mean, it has freaking Martin Landau in it.
LGBT Geek Community Organizations.
Yeah.
Then we have a Q&A with Keith Coogan.
Oh, he's doing multiple
things. He's doing a whole thing with just him.
He's going to be there. I'm sure we can talk to him.
We got another voice acting one with Sandy Fox, who did Wreck-It Ralph, Akira, Sailor Moon.
Akira.
Cowboy Bebop, etc. A lot of stuff there. Surviving TNT's Falling Skies with Colin Cunningham.
Never watched that show.
I have not either, but it's one of the guys from the show, isn't there?
That was the Noah Wiley one, right?
I think so. Big Trouble in Little China Q&A with James Hong.
Oh, because James freaking Hong is going to be
Gary
there.
And Gary Goldman.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
I'm just stoked. James Hong is going to be there. And I know you're such a nerd. You want to talk to him about, like, Wayne's World 2 or something.
Well, of course.
It's the thing that everybody...
Zang. Then in the Grand Ballroom.
Or Balls of Fury.
I watched that. I watched it. Balls it wasn't great, but... I had to, right? Then in the Grand Ballroom.
Kung Fu Panda's good, though.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Grand Ballroom, we have the incredible Luke
Seinfeld.
Ferrigno. Seinfeld, yeah, he's been in everything.
He's in the Chinese restaurant episode.
Chinese restaurant. He's been in everything.
Seinfeld, Fall. That's him.
Yep, that's him. The incredible Lou Ferrigno, the original Incredible Hulk, he's going to do a panel. Then we have...
Wait, Lou Ferrigno's actually doing a panel?
Yeah.
I've never seen him do
a panel.
Fans
will get this once-in-a-lifetime chance to ask
Maybe
Lou
I can
himself.
Actually talk to him without being scared.
You could.
Except I won't be
You're not going to be there, so...
Dang it.
Then we have a second Stan Lee.
What time is Lou Ferrigno's panel?
11 to 12, right in the middle of something good.
Maybe we could get Lou Ferrigno to come on Radio Brendo, man. We should try
him.
And get one of these, like...
You can ask him.
People.
Why not? And then finally we have Stan Lee. They're doing a second one, so he's doing an hour one.
So
day
if you come, no
day.
Matter what day you come, either Saturday or Sunday, you have an opportunity.
That's right.
Wait, when's Stan Lee going on?
2 to 3.
So somebody's going up against Stan
Everybody's
Lee.
Everybody's going up everything, but it's fine. Don't worry about it.
That's the Blaze, isn't it? Too?
I mean, see, they got the star power to hold up against
I can't wait to see the Blaze live.
Yep. And that's it. That's what we got there. But that's pretty epic, I'd say. Like, that's a really good lineup.
It is. It's a solid, very solid. It's a lot of us.
It's a lot of us, but there's a lot of other stuff, too. So it's not, like, all us.
Andrew says, please, Phil, send me that
schedule. I will. I'll be sending you the schedule tonight. It's not, again, like, it's not been published anywhere. This is just, you know, the thing that I got from
them,
so.
If that sounds awesome to you and you want to see us live, come check it out. Live shows. If you want to promote your podcast, come to the Podcast Advocates panel. If you want to just hang out,
yeah,
we're gonna be there all weekend. We're gonna be chilling out,
giving out stuff.
We got stickers.
Yeah,
we got records.
Yeah,
we got stuff.
It's gonna be awesome.
Maybe if we'll have like a Q&A during the Radio Brendo Man, and like the best question gets a record.
That's good. I like that.
Booyah!
It's gonna be awesome.
And so that's happening.
Yeah.
ComicConPalmSprings.com, but get the Groupon.
Get the Groupon for sure. It's a good deal.
Get your hotel rooms. I got to get mine.
I know. We have to book ours still. But that's how I roll. That's
what
I do.
Some good deals.
There's a lot of good stuff.
But I've got a lot of things coming up. I mean, it's going to be busy.
The actual hotel it's in is sold out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that hotel's expensive.
But I'm just saying, like... Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of people.
There's going to be a lot of people there.
Like, I think it's going to be pretty good.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, I mean, like, you've never done a live show. Oh, we did one.
We did one in Big Bear.
So at least you got
it was
a little,
on a small scale,
yeah.
But, you know. Our plan is, I guess, to record everything. I'm hoping, like, Andrew is going to help out and Josh and stuff to, you know, cover some of those things. We'll record stuff, but, you know. I think we'll have all that stuff.
Josh says no.
All right, fine. Andrew, I know,
we'll figure it out.
But point is that we'll have hopefully have some of these things, you know, to post online for people who are out of state and that kind of thing.
And we'll have a lobby hotel room mega cast for sure.
So, you know, so that people can be a part of it that aren't out here in California and hear some of the things, especially the live podcast stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So.
We're going to be doing lots of stuff. It'll be a lot of hanging out.
Yeah.
It's basically like if you want to come hang out with Benview.
This is your chance.
This is it, except for Derek. It's everybody but Derek.
Yep.
It should be called the No Derek's Festival.
Well, all the California people, to be fair.
It's true.
You know, because...
Yeah, because like Tim and Mark aren't going to be there.
They're going to be there.
But, some of the other people. But they're all far. The California, all the Southern California Benview people.
Fest,
minus Derek.
But it's like the Benview Fest we talked about, Ben Fest or whatever.
Yeah, Benview Con.
Benview Con.
That was.
And
Trend Talk people.
Okay, well, not everybody, but a lot of people will be there.
There's a new episode of Van Damme. They finally did a new one.
Well, there you go. So it's going to be sweet. You guys are going to want to be there.
I recommend it.
Yeah, I do too. I think there's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be cool.
I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited because just hanging out with my peeps.
Yeah.
And then because we got that, and then we got the next month, the month after that, we got, well, the weekend after that, I'm going to be going to Reseda because I'll be at the Battle of Los Angeles.
Man.
If any of my fellow PWG wrestling fans are going to be at Bola, definitely let me know. I need some line buddies. Because, like, otherwise I'm just going to be hanging out with Matt and Max.
Well, that's good.
I guess.
It'll be fun. And then we got Long Beach.
They're in the front row, so they're not, I'm not going to be in line with those guys. Them. No. They're too good for hanging out. I don't know.
And then we got Long Beach coming up, LA Podcast Festival.
I think they're only going.
We're not
going
to be home for a weekend for a long time.
Yeah, I got that. Long Beach Comic Con the 17th and 18th, LA Podfest the 23rd and the 25th, and then getting into October, and then it's Halloween. You guys are going to do Mickey's Halloween treat, right?
I think so, yeah. We haven't bought tickets yet.
If you
yet,
figure
though.
That out, let me know. I want to do it.
Keep it posted.
I want to do it.
I'll
want all that
soon
candy.
As we know, I know. Oh, and Josh is going to PAX the next weekend after Palm Springs, so he'll have some extra damage coverage of PAX.
That's exciting.
That's very exciting. That's going to be, man, you're going to be really tired. I should have scheduled you a later panel to talk on.
All right, well, what's going on? Andrew's probably going to Kamikaze.
Man, if you're going to a panel, somebody will be there, so let us know.
If you're going listeners. To a convention.
All right.
Well, we represent at all the cons.
That's right. We're all around. Josh left. He was so upset about having to get up early. He left the chat there.
Put him in two panels at 10 in the morning.
No, one's at 10:30. One's at
10:30.
Hey, in order to squeeze us all in, we got a lot of stuff. He gave us two days with a room to basically pack with what we could. I squeezed as much in there as I could get.
It's exciting. I'm excited.
Like, we couldn't fit another single thing in there. We're going from the time it opens till the time it closes.
The reality of that is hitting me right now.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome.
It's awesome, but I'm also going to be dead.
Yep. It's going to be sweet. At least we're not doing one Friday night, too. That's good. We kind of...
What's the last... So we're the last panel on Sunday. What time is it over?
4:00.
That's good. That's a decent.
Yeah, so you're done.
So I'm not like, because like it only takes 45 minutes to get home.
Well, and then Saturday it's done at 7:30. Yeah. So it's not like.
See, I don't care about that, but like Sunday, because then I got to go home and then I got to work on Monday morning.
Right.
But it means it's not that long. It's, I mean, unlike the people from LA.
Right. Yeah, we're driving like an hour or less. I don't know how far it is exactly, but.
It is. Well, from what I drove, the place where I had my job interview was pretty close to the convention center, and it's like a 45-minute drive.
Okay, that's not so bad.
And there's never really any traffic going in either direction.
Right. So you'll be home for dinner if you want to. Like, that's not bad.
But we got other stuff. I mean, what's going on with you, Phil?
Well, I already talked about back-to-school stuff, but this weekend, Janelle and I went up to Big Bear, and we ran Mountain Room Escapes for the weekend. We were the game hosts.
Did your kids help?
No, they actually hung out with Grandpa and their aunts. They went in the hot tub and...
Just got spoiled.
Just got spoiled, basically. Yeah, you got them all kinds
of... Dude, whenever they hang out with your dad, it's like also your dad's excuse to like... I always see your dad eating more than like the... Like, he'll come back and he'll just have like... Just like... Like, every time I see him, he'll have like an ice cream cone. Yeah. Like,
oh, he got them ice cream with toppings. They got like... He got them their favorite macaroni bowls. They had, I don't know, all kinds of good stuff. So they hung out there and got spoiled, and Janelle and I ran the thing.
Because Matthew was at a...
Matthew's at a conference.
For escape rooms.
Right. So he had us run it while he was gone.
Did he learn anything?
I think so. I haven't really got to talk to him a whole lot.
Did they do escape rooms at the escape room conference?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think it was like going to a convention and they sat in panels.
Did they have like a show floor where it's like buying like... Because there was a convention David King went this week. It was at the Long Beach Convention Center. It was like last weekend.
Okay.
It was like a haunt convention.
Huh.
But they also had like haunt, they had like mazes, like walk-through mazes.
That's cool.
Set up. But it was also like for people that ran haunted events. And like it was like a big, like, huh. It looked really cool. I would have gone if it hadn't been like so soon after Comic-Con and I was kind of like conned out.
There will be an escape room at Long Beach. I mean,
yeah, but it sounds like it might be a scary one.
I think so. It's like zombies.
Zombie escape room. But, I mean, I'll probably do it.
That's cool.
I mean, how can you not do an escape room?
Well, it depends on how late they run, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, we could go on Friday.
That's true.
So, do you have any fun experiences?
Yeah, well, it's the first time I've actually run one.
Is it cool being, like, the game master?
Well, so, first of all...
Were you yelling at the people?
No,
it's over there.
Well, in my brain, you're not allowed to say anything.
I know that,
but yeah, it's crazy. Like just some of the stuff where they're like looking right at it. You're like, why don't you see it? But you know,
well, your friends Stapko's.
Yeah,
came.
So Tim Stapko and
did
his
he do
wife,
it with
Katie,
his kids?
He brought his kids and his parents,
and they solved it.
And they solved it. They were actually with another group, and they got through. They made it on the leaderboard. I think they're like third place now.
Dang.
So they're up on the board. We actually had two of our groups that made it up on the leaderboard this weekend. So that's a pretty big deal.
So you guys did a pretty good job.
So, yeah. And they, I mean, it's so much fun. It's weird. Like, because I've
were you, like, really nervous?
At first, Janelle ran it because she's done them before. So she ran the first one and I kind of shadowed her. And then... The second one, I actually like did like the whole talk in the beginning and stuff. And I'm not nervous about talking in front of people. That doesn't bother me at all.
But it's like people are paying.
Right, they're paying
like,
good money to do this. So, you know.
Something up.
But afterwards, at least as of right now, today is, you know, Monday that we're recording, we already got him two five-star reviews.
Nobody left a review, so that Phil guy was big doof.
Stupid. No, people like written, and it's not, I mean, it's, you know, I get partial credit because we ran it, but he's got a great room.
Yeah.
And people just like, they're buzzing afterwards. We did three rooms that day, and all three of them, only one or two people in the whole group had done one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly new people all throughout the day. And at the end, everyone's like, oh, I want to do room escapes now. This is fantastic. So it was really, really fun. We had this one group, and I think I'm allowed – it's not like a – not a psychologist. I'm allowed to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
This is not like a room escape confidentiality agreement or anything. I won't say their actual names, but, you know, they pick team names. And their team name they picked was the Bickersons because they're like, you know, we fight all the time. And we'll, you know, it was mom and dad and their three kids who were like, you know, junior high, maybe up to freshman year of high school. And they're like, they fight a lot. They'll probably hit each other. I'm like, oh, that rarely happens in here. It was like watching a sitcom when they're in there. They fought the whole time, like yelled
at
each other.
Did they get out?
But they got out. And the funny part is they were really smart. And, like, they loved it. But they would do this. So, like, the son had gotten invited the week before to go to an escape room at, like, a birthday party. And he loved it. And he convinced his family to come to this one. And so, like, they you know, oh, give me that thing over there. Hand it to me, you idiot. Oh, shut up. Blah, 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 blah. This is so much fun. I'm so glad we came to this, you guys. Oh, dude, you're such an idiot, man. Like, why are you so dumb? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's right in front of your face. Thank you so much, Tommy, for, like, telling us about this. This is just great. Oh, yeah. And it just was, like, the whole time, just yelling at each other, just bawling each other out. And then, like, oh, this is great. I'm so glad we came up. And then in the end, they came out, and they're like, we haven't bonded like this in so long. It was so much fun, blah, blah.
Just, like, screaming.
It was, like, the funniest thing. We were just dying, like, trying not to laugh so they could hear us, you know. And then the one girl was, like, obsessed with the fact that we were watching her on a camera. This is so creepy. They're just staring at us on this camera. This is weird, you know. And then the other one was, like, dancing to the background music and stuff. But then they'd yell at you, stop dancing, you idiot. Help us all.
Did anybody else pull back the curtain and see the dummy? Is that scared anybody else?
No. He doesn't have that there now. Okay. Well, partly because you have to get that way to go to the restroom. Oh, okay. So, you know.
I thought that was really funny.
That was really funny, but I think for safety purposes, if someone has to go to the restroom, you know, you don't want them to get scared and then pee right there. So anyway, it was cool though. It was cool. We had a lot of fun. I would definitely do it again.
Nice.
And we got a 5-star review, so that's good. Finally, a very quick story here that happened actually yesterday. We had a little Wingstop fiasco, but I mostly tell this to tell you about how much I've matured in my life here. So, Janelle wanted to order Wingstop, but she didn't want to, like, you know, go out. We didn't really have anything to make for dinner, and she was tired, and I was tired. So she called in and ordered a Wingstop, and then I drove out and picked it up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done, like, a phone one at Wingstop, but they take it out and show you each item to make sure they got it all, right? So he showed me we were supposed to get 15 of one kind of wings.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me we were 15, closed the box up, and put it in. When we got home, there was actually only 10 wings in there, and everything else was in there, but I didn't, like, poke at each one to count them. He said 15, so I just trusted him, but there was only 10 in there. So we were shorted 5 wings, which, I don't know, that's something like $4, right?
So did you call?
So Janelle called, and they said, well, you can come back in, we'll give you more wings. And I'm like, it's nighttime, I already took my pants off, well, I'm not going back out there.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, because we paid with credit card, we thought they could just put, like, a refund back on the card. Which a lot of places can do that.
But like a partial refund on a card, that's, I don't
know. You can do that on Square. Why can't you do it? I mean,
I don't know.
It's somewhere, a lot of places are capable of, and they said, you know, we have to have you come in. We can't just do it on the phone, but we'll do it. You can come back in tonight. And we're like, we really don't want to come in. We'll come back tomorrow afternoon, and you can do it. And so we're like, fine. And we got to talking about it, and I said, you know what? It's less than $5. The amount of time and effort.
You actually let something go?
I let it go.
No way.
I did not go back.
And you're not, it's not bothering you?
It kind of is a little bit.
I know it's gotta be bothering you.
It's not so
bad. I know you well enough that, like, this wouldn't, there's no way that
you're... When I sat and logically thought about it, I'm gonna have to drive down to Wingstop, go in and do this big old thing, maybe, like, make someone irritated that I'm doing it, and I like to go there, so I don't wanna be like that guy. And it's for, like, it's probably, like, four, I don't know, less than $4, maybe. I don't know how much they are individually, but, you know, if they're, like...
I know, 5 wings.
If they're 80 cents, that's $4, right?
5 wings.
I know, but, you know, I let it go. And I think I'm okay with it.
What if it happens again?
If it happens again, then, man...
This is like me with a KFC force.
Well, from here on out, I'm counting my chicken wings if I'm picking it up. Also, I think I'm not going to go in fives. I think tens. If you're ordering online, you got to order in
10. I just get the strips. I don't actually get the wings.
Yeah, but there's too much breading on it and for, you know, the low-carb thing.
Oh, yeah. You're doing that.
Doing that. So...
I
still like Wingstop, though.
The freaking KFC lady... Still gives me the eye when I don't immediately pull away because I look in my bag to make sure that fork is there.
I hate drive-thru.
I know you particularly, but I've never had like a horrific drive except those forks, like not giving me the fork.
Yeah.
So now I check every time, and since I started checking, they've always given it to me. But half the time I go in now, just because I don't really, it's not the time of year where I can just sit in my car,
right, waiting.
And eat in a parking lot because I'm, like, dying of heat stroke. And also, like, the parking lots in San Bernardino by my school are, like, extremely sketchy.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of shady characters.
There's things going on.
I don't even know if these are just... I don't think these are homeless people. I think they're just... That's where people hang out, is like in these shady areas of parking lots because they have nothing better to do. Like, and I think like half of them are junkies.
Yeah.
And then like another portion are homeless, but then another people are just, because again, there's like a lot of just like people.
Loitering.
A lot of loitering going on. And so I discovered that like maybe hanging around in parking lots is not the greatest
not
idea.
The best place to be.
Cause especially, in my Google News, I have like San Bernardino and Yucaipa, and it kind of all comes into it. And a lot of bad things happen in San Bernardino, even in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of murders.
Yeah, it happens.
A lot of carjackings. San Bernardino is a bad. I work in a bad area, but I mean it's a good thing. Like I'm helping kids and
doing
stuff.
A good thing.
But it is pretty sketchy.
Yeah, it is.
But anyways, so that was your Wingstop fiasco.
I just have a tip for Wingstop now.
Order in tens.
Well, order in tens for one. But we were introduced to Wingstop by Dina, Janelle's stepmom out in Texas.
Because
way, way back.
I've talked about this where Wingstop is a ripoff of a even older wing place. And now that I've had both, way better place called Wing Bucket.
Interesting.
Dallas.
But here's something that I didn't know. And we maybe this will change your opinion of Wingstop. But we got them out there and it was like the best wings we'd ever had. They had just started opening when we first got them with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started opening them in California and they're great, but they were never the same as the ones we had in Texas. And then we went out in Texas and we were talking with her and we found
out the same.
We've been ordering them wrong.
What do you mean?
You can order them well done and it makes them crispy and it's the best thing. That's what was missing all this time.
I don't get the wings though. I get the strips.
Next time, try ordering well done wings. At least just get a couple of them.
Are they like just really crispy?
It's amazing. Yeah, they're crispy and
I'm not a big wings guy.
It's just, they're fantastic. You gotta try it once.
They're too messy.
You just gotta try it once. It's fantastic. Sometime when you don't mind getting messy, when you're gonna be at home or something, get them well done. They're beautiful.
All right.
That's my tip. That's my Wingstop tip for the night.
What's your favorite Wingstop wing flavor?
It's kind of a tie. It used to be like an easy answer, which was the teriyaki. I love their teriyaki.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have that Louisiana rub, and it is good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So that's my top two.
That Wing Bucket in Dallas, man, I've never had anything like that.
Got to try one.
And they give you like a ton of food, too. It was like a lot. Like, the lady even, like, I initially ordered, like, and she's like, you don't want that many. And I was like, okay, and I trusted her, because, like, and I mean, it's Texas. They're not going to, like, they want you to, like.
I don't know, everything in Texas
like,
is too much.
So then I did order, and even that was almost too much, so I was glad.
Glad you listened.
I listened to her, but that place was so good, dude. That place was, like, it was better than Wingstop.
Well, you got to order them well done, because I'm telling you, that's how we got them the first time. That's what we've been missing all this time. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, I don't have too much to mention because we'll talk about it in a second, but we went to the movies on Friday.
Yeah.
And then after that, I just kind of basically tried to stay cool. I tried to set up my tent thing, and I couldn't get it to stay.
What happened?
I think my tape, like, weakened.
You need new tape?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it's also, like, I don't know. I think it's, like, it was, like, wrecking my sheet because it was, like,
it could be.
I don't know.
Probably not, like, designed for that purpose.
But I don't know. It just gets so hot. And I did find I was tempted to just, like, leave my air conditioning on all the time because, like, I did it again where I, like, left it on in the morning because sometimes I'm leaving because I leave it on during the night in thermostat mode.
Right.
So I don't just wake up and I'm – because that's, like, the worst when you wake up and it's like, ugh. But sometimes if it's off in the morning, which a lot of times it is, not now though, in the morning it's still on now, because it's like 90 degrees at like 7 in the morning, but usually in the morning it's off, because it's cool, it's still cool in here, and then I'll just leave and forget to turn it off, but it's nice coming home when it's like nice and cool, so I'm very tempted, but then I'm like, I can't afford that. I can't afford to just keep my house cool all day. I'm not that wealthy.
You're not, I mean.
Maybe if I got one of those smart, because you can get like those outlets.
Yeah.
That then like you hook to a smartphone so I can like
you
turn it on.
It. Yeah, like right before you get
like
home.
Like an hour before I get home or something. But then that's some work to do.
Yeah.
But it's tempting because it is nice coming home and it's like already like
I
nice
like
and
it.
Cool. So that happened, and then, so there's like a, so this is, if you've ever, you, I don't know, you don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Not a ton.
But it's a common sponsor on like a lot of like Colt Cabana, WTF, a lot of the bigger podcasts. It's called Me Undies.
Okay.
And we are not sponsored by Me Undies because we're not big enough to get a Me Undies sponsorship. But
what is it?
It's so that they make, supposedly, if you listen to these ad copy, Marin talks about it, and Pete Holmes. If you listen to what they're saying about these underwear, you're like, there's no way that there's, they're made from like, it's three times as soft as cotton. It's like microfiber. It's a, and they're like, this is amazing. I'm like, no. And, but I've always wanted to try it because I needed to buy new underwear anyways.
Okay.
And I'm a Boxer Briefs guy. And
of course.
So,
it's the underwear of fats everywhere. Yeah.
Cause else it keeps everything there. And so, but let me tell you, so, I had been meaning to do it and I never have. And then MeUndies popped up in the, WWE Slam offers.
Okay.
And, so I got like, I got like a million coins.
So you bought underwear.
And it was $16.
Okay.
No, yeah, it was $20 of free shipping, but then you get one every month. And it's also antimicrobial.
Okay.
So like it prevents like getting all gross.
You get germs in your crotch.
And yeah. And so, so the first pair is like, it's $20 of free shipping, and then you get an, it's a subscription, but you can cancel anytime.
You have an underwear subscription.
But once a month you get a new pair, so like, in like a few months I'll have like a nice stock of underwear. I've been buying
new underwear in like 15 years.
But your underwear is falling apart.
I know, but it's still there.
But it's time, I'm like, I need more, and I need not falling apart underwear.
Alright.
Falling apart, it's not. Well, anyway, so let me tell you.
So it's good.
Because at first I'm like, these look too tight. Like I ordered the biggest size, and it said it would fit me. Okay. But at first, like looking at them, like this isn't gonna fit. Put them on. Holy crap, dude!
That good?
It is that good. Like, let me tell you. Because then I went out. It was like an all day. Like I walked around. I did a lot, and like you don't like. It's like. Total, like, because, like, it's tight where it needs to be tight, and it, like, keeps everything, and it's, like, it feels like you're wearing, like, satin glove. Like, it's, like, amazing.
Is it a boxer brief style?
It's definitely, you can get boxers or boxer briefs. I got the boxer brief, and it almost is like wearing, like, those bike shorts, but, like, it's, because it's pretty tight.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be, because at first I'm like, it's supposed to be, but then it's like, because let me tell you, no chafe. Whatsoever.
Huh.
Smooth, kept it all, and it's so comfortable. They're the by far, like, no BS, cause we are not sponsored by them.
Nope.
But.
Unless they want to.
Well, you have to like have a lot of downloads and like all the stats and whatnot. Cause I looked into it, cause I'm like, these are legitimately
good. Underwear, huh?
They are really good.
Right.
Like I can't wait. I might do laundry earlier this week so I can wear them again.
So if you get them once a month, by the end of the year you're gonna have 12 pairs.
Yeah,
it's a lot of underwear.
That's great.
All right,
I would love 12 pairs of these.
I
want to replace all of my underwear with these.
I just can't. I can't.
Like
do it.
I had to go back to not wearing the MeUndies, and I'm already like,
You want them on again?
Because they are so comfortable. And they
there's
just.
There's a way I could, like, have a trial pair.
Well, they said if you don't like them, they'll refund no questions asked. No questions asked.
You can
asked.
Just mail your dirty underwear back.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I was very skeptical.
How would you like to be the guy that opens the mail of that place? I think that's right up there with the hair.
Is that worse than the Locks of Love guy?
I don't know.
The
dirty underwear? Because he's guaranteed to get dirty underwear
yeah.
back. Like the other one,
because
like,
I don't. How many people are going to watch those before they send them back?
None people. They're all just sending back dirty underwear. There's a guy.
What would you rather have?
I don't know.
An envelope of pubes or somebody's like. But these are antimicrobial, and I'm telling you, they stayed very dry, very.
Yeah,
like,
but
just,
are they anti like poop streak? Like,
well, no.
I mean, you're gonna this. There's a guy whose job it is to open it up and pull out poop streaked underwear all day long.
Well, it's not like sniffing it.
I know
they probably just
it.
Like open it up. He's probably got like goggles or anything. They just look and make sure it's in there, and they probably just chuck
it's
it.
Still a guy's
I
job.
I guarantee you,
it's
they
still
chuck
a guy's
it.
Job.
They probably don't even touch it.
If we can find the guy who works for MeUndies,
the MeUndies envelope
the
opener,
envelope opener, the used
for the return,
underwear opener,
the return guy.
That's a guy's job.
It's also a guy's job to open the envelopes at Locks of Love.
I know. I want those.
And you, like, basically have been like, that guy, you know that guy's getting pubes. And
yeah. I wanted to have those two guys on a panel.
Decide who's
on
the worst
envelope openers panel. That's next year when we get, like, another room to ourselves. I'm making that happen.
You're going
to
find the MeUndies and the Locks of Love.
This is going to be, like, a star-studded opening envelope opener panel. It's going to be fantastic. And they're just going to tell us what's the grossest stuff people have mailed to them and that they've had to open.
I feel like envelope anywhere is not the best job.
Yeah, but these are guaranteed. The only thing people are sending you is dirty underwear. Like, that's it. Your job is to open envelopes of dirty underwear. Or boxes.
What would you rather do?
It's really kind of up there. I don't know. I think the hair...
Because I feel like the hair one, they have to go through it more.
Yeah, because some of it they're actually processing. Like, they actually have to take
Whereas,
out.
Whereas, again... With the MeUndies, I'm pretty sure they just open it to make sure it's in there, and then they just, like, throw it in a
pile. Either that or they wash it, and you just bought one of those pairs.
I don't think so. It seems
it's
very
fine. I don't know.
What if that's their scam?
I think that's it. They're just sending out all these things and washing them and sending them back to you. That's you're subscribing to it because you're just getting the ones that people keep mailing back to. I don't know, but...
I was extremely impressed. That's all I'm saying. All
right.
I already talked about Werner Herzog was on Marin. Yeah. That was great. Also, there was a new Purple Stuff podcast. Matt from Dinosaur Dracula, I think his name's Matt. I forgot his name. Crap. Well, anyways.
Dinosaur Dracula.
He starts celebrating Halloween like 90 days.
Okay.
So he's already, it's Halloween season. So they talk about the scary, they do a countdown of like the 12 scariest scenes in a movie. And it's pretty entertaining. Because they also include like old trailers and like TV commercials for the movies.
Nice.
Like it's really, again, like, if you're a nostalgia person, like, and you're not listening to this or reading Dinosaur Dracula, like, what's wrong with you? Because it's great. And listening to Purple Stuff Podcast is like Dinosaur Dracula in audio form.
Right.
And I've been very impressed with that. You were just talking about how many spam emails you're getting from Sideshow Collectibles.
Yes, I am.
Well, I discovered last week... an amazing thing that I wanted to share. Because, again, not sponsored or anything.
Okay.
But I actually... So I've been getting these newsletters from this thing called HubSpot for a while. I'm not sure when I signed up for it. But it's about online marketing.
Okay.
And they make, like, these PDFs about, like, how to use Instagram for marketing your stuff. And I think I got it for, like, Potvox stuff, like, a long time ago. And, like, other things. Because they do a lot of online marketing. And like... It does, they do have a lot of practical things. Like, I actually read their PDF about Snapchat because I'm like, I don't understand
what,
how
what
Snapchat
right.
works. And it actually kind of helped me understand it a little bit. For instance, there is a way to post things where they won't disappear.
Really?
Because I know you keep going on and on about that.
I know. Amber's been emailing us on that other show, like, do Snapchat. I'm like, if someone is not going to document it, there's no point.
Well, there are ones you can do where it doesn't go away.
All right.
But now there's like a Snapchat thing in Instagram, which is weird. I don't know. I don't understand what's happening. But hey, Ryan Kane's in here. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
So anyways, this thing. So in a HubSpot article, there was a HubSpot article all about like taking control of your inbox.
Okay.
I'm always about like finding new ways because I'm getting a lot of junk, especially now that I'm signing up for all these junk email lists, trying to get these Topps coins to get more cards. I have over 2,000 cards now.
Oh my gosh.
Of digital
cards. Have you completed one of the levels?
I've completed the gray, the white level, and then the green level.
So
The first two. And I'm about 60% done with the teal set.
How many are there?
There's two more levels after, but the black ones, like, I don't even, like, I think you basically have to pay money to get those, so I don't know if I'll ever, I don't have a single black card.
Okay.
I do have, I'm getting quite a few orange ones now, because I'm moving up on the pack levels. And the trading, and, yeah. Once you get a couple million coin drops, you can acquire a lot of, But anyways, so I've been getting a lot of junk email. And then there's also just these email lists that I can't seem, no matter how many times I actually try to unsubscribe or use the Google spam or anything. Like, I can't seem to get rid. There's this one that I think I signed up for when I was, again, doing a lot of PopVox stuff.
Right.
That I signed up for, like, 10 years ago about micropayments. Because remember, we were trying to find different... And we, yeah. Cause we've, I think through PopVox, we've basically used every single possible, like... online payment thing, because this was before, because back in the day you couldn't do microtransactions with PayPal because it was the fees. If you wanted to charge 99 cents for a song, you wouldn't make any money,
right, based off the fees for it.
And so they, so before PayPal allowed, like, change their fee structure, you, there was special, like, thing, we, because we had one that we used for a while that, and then we ended up not getting paid from them. Like, they ripped us off, basically. Because yeah. There was a, we had a PopVox online store that I made after doing a ton of research. And one of the things I subscribed to was this email about digital payments that I swear I've unsubscribed from this list like 20 times. And I still somehow pops up. Well, there's this thing that I found out about in this HubSpot article called unroll.me.
Okay.
You can go there right now. Unroll.me. I thank you especially. So first of all, what you do, it works with most webmail, web-based mail systems, or pretty much any email.
Okay.
But you get, so you sign into Gmail, and like you log in, like you give your Gmail credential, and then it like creates these, it goes into your Gmail, and then it just scans, and it's like you're subscribed to 200 newsletters or whatever, and then you go through each one, and it's like, you have multiple options. You can straight up, it will unsubscribe you from this stuff.
Okay.
With one click.
Okay.
You can either unsubscribe, you can have it, if there's a newsletter that you actually want, to go straight to your inbox. Like, there's certain things that I want to read in my inbox, like legitimate. Then, here's the cool one. For things that you still want to read, but you don't want cluttering up your inbox.
Right.
You can add it to your unroll.me thing. And basically what this is you can tell it when you want it to send it and how often, but I have it send it to me once a day in the morning.
It's almost and, like a Google Reader.
Yeah, it, so basically it sends you this email, or at any time you can also, if you, you can look at, it makes folders in your Gmail, so if you still want to look at them, they're there, but it hides it all. So you don't even see this stuff. It doesn't show up in your inbox anymore. Huh. And then it sends you a message, or you can go to their site, the unroll.me site, and look at it. And it will, it's like this, I'll show it to you. I'll show you, Phil. But basically, it's this, like, newspaper type thing, and it shows you all your newsletters. And then if you want to read one, you just click on it, or you can just scan right past it. And if you, after looking at this for a while, and you want to unsubscribe to those, from the app, you can then be like, I don't want this anymore.
Huh.
Or if you're looking at it on your roll, you're like, okay, actually, this is useful. I want to start sending it. So here's my roll-up for today. And it just, it's like these things. Like, here's this Indiegogo thing. Here's this newsletter. Here's this Toys R Us thing. And it just puts it all. Here's my all this crap from Amazon. And sometimes I want to look at this stuff. But, and then in the morning.
You always want to see it.
Yeah, and it's, but it, none of this is in my inbox anymore.
That's
it sends
awesome.
Me. And I'm telling you, every, like, it's
well, there's
pretty
like
amazing.
Half of those I'm probably subscribed to,
yeah,
I see there.
But, like,
and,
all this, like, just all this stuff.
Well,
and,
but so then,
and
like,
then, like, if you don't want it anymore, like, I'm done. Unsubscribe. Or you can stop rolling it up and you want to send it. And then it keeps scanning your email. So as new things come in, it'll tell you, like, hey, you're getting these now that I haven't noticed before. And you can choose what to do with them.
Huh.
So this 20th Century Fox, I want to add it to my roll-up. Casual Mail, unsubscribe. Dark Ink, add to roll-up. Oil Can, add to roll-up. Samsung, unsubscribe. Timo Maze, add to roll-up. Titanfall 2, add to roll-up. So I have unsubscribed from 89 things. I've rolled up 242 things and kept 59 things.
That's awesome.
And that's how much junk is just going through my email.
That's really, really cool. And it's free?
This is a free thing.
Who, like, why did someone make this for free? Just to be cool?
I don't know. I think at some point maybe they'll charge for it.
Yeah,
or,
what they're doing right now is harvesting all this
they're
information.
They're basically
and
harvesting
putting you
my
in
email.
All of those other ones now.
I don't know, but it's pretty
you
awesome.
I think this is getting rid of stuff. Just wait till the fall.
Whatever.
Out.
It's really cool.
That is really cool. Because there's a lot of those things. Like, for instance, one you saw in there was Toys R Us. And sometimes they have good sales, and I want to see that,
yeah.
But I don't want to get their thing every
single
day.
But it's not just, like, clogging up your inbox.
But then I can go and look and say, oh, what's the latest Toys R Us deal? That's cool. That's really cool.
So, yeah, it's
all right.
It was really awesome. I really like it. I'm trying to find anything in their FAQ about, like, what's your guys' deal? It does say, how do you read my email? And it tells you that their security information. It doesn't store your login information. They don't have access to your login information. So they use Gmail's OAuth, which basically they're not seeing your credentials. It's like passing through.
Okay.
And then but I mean, they are seeing your email, but they just don't have access. So it's like they're not, so I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, you're looking at it right now.
Yeah, that looks really, really cool.
Pretty cool.
All right. I'm sold.
Unrolled. I mean, and like, since that's happened, my inbox is like right now, normally by now, my inbox will just be full of crap. And, I mean, you can look right now. My Gmail box is empty and it's been pretty empty.
Do you want to know how much I have in my Gmail?
Well, you're like a freaking nutcase.
Since we're talking about it, I'm going to tell you right now. Let's see. In my Gmail, in my primary box, I have 2,539 unread emails.
But then the other cool thing is, like, if I don't want to go to the Unroll Me site and it's not the time where my Unroll Me has, like, come in, like my roll-up.
Right.
It creates a little thing right here. Like, it creates a category, like, in Gmail,
and I
click at it, and then it's got all my messages that it's holding. So, like, they're still there.
Huh.
It just hides them all. And so, like, in my actual inbox, like, I don't see any of it. It's awesome.
All right.
They also have apps. They have phone apps.
So you can do it on your phone?
Yes.
In my Hotmail, I don't know if you can see it on here how many I have.
Well, because you don't use the actual.
I don't have the app.
Apps.
I can't see it.
You're
on
using
here.
The web.
It's somewhere around 8,000, though, if I remember correctly from looking at it.
Don't you like? But do you ever miss things because you have so much junk in your freaking?
Well, yeah, probably. But I try not to. I keep up on it. I just don't always like delete them. I'll look through and say, okay, I looked at all
you
that.
You might
stuff.
Benefit from this.
No, I would. I think it's really cool. Does it only do Gmail?
No, it works with like a ton
like
of different
Outlook,
things. Outlook, Hotmail, whatever. All right.
It's out, yeah, it's Outlook now. I still call it.
All right, we got to get through, I guess.
We do. Well, should we? Yeah, what? You lead the way here. Where are we going?
Well, I mean, books, we kind of talked about that already.
Yeah.
I'm still making my way through that.
Oh, really fast is kind of like, this would be like.
Okay, I want to hear about this, because how did you just find out about Poe?
Do you know about Haunted specifically?
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
You know, like, she wrote it. It's the soundtrack
for
to House of Leaves.
Okay.
It's her brother.
I figured you probably knew, but in the off chance you didn't.
Of course I knew about it.
I was going.
But also, I listened to the album before I knew.
Right, right.
Because I'm a big fan of Poe.
Well, I've heard of Poe before. Probably listened to it back in the day. But the reason I came across it recently.
Yeah, how did you come across it?
Is it was in the Gene Eugene CD. So I'm still, like, going. I'm on, like, the last few of those,
yeah.
Like, going through them all,
so, yeah.
Cataloging them.
Well, let me tell you something. Because I've been thinking about House of Leaves a lot lately. Because the more I think about it, and I've been watching Stranger Things a lot, it has a lot in common with Stranger Things.
Interesting.
Like the whole, because I mean, he basically, based off of what I've told, so House of Leaves, they basically, this portal opens up in this house, a door into basically, it's almost like the Upside Down, and there's a monster inside and that haunts it. It's very similar to the whole Upside Down thing, and then they have to go in there and try, cause he has to go in and find his wife, cause she gets trapped in there.
Huh.
There's a lot of similarities, but House of Leaves is still like one of the, I mean, I talked about this quite a bit, but at one point I was so scared reading House of Leaves that not only did I locked my interior bedroom door, I was so scared.
Well, the album itself, too, is just as an album is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it also, like, simultaneously, she includes all these clips from her dad, like the tapes that he died and he left all these tapes behind. And she includes all, so it's like really emotional. Like,
yeah.
I kind of got especially the last song. It's like her saying goodbye to her dad, and there's clips of him saying goodbye to her, and I was totally tearing up just listening to it.
She's
beautiful.
Pretty amazing, and yeah, like her brother. I forgot the name of the guy. But.
Well, so do you know? Like, that's the last album she released.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, this whole legal thing with her, like, record company, and, like, her deal got sold to another company, and then
she
they,
got
like,
kind
locked
of,
it down. She was, like, not allowed to perform for 10 years.
She got super hosed by a record, bad record
like
deal.
Really, really bad.
Because I read an interview with her and her brother, and she kind of talked about it, where she basically is, like, not really doing music.
Yeah, she can't. Like, well, I think she's finally out
it's
of it
almost
now.
Like that crazy, like, it's almost – it's not as dire a situation, but it was almost similar to, like, the Kesha situation. Not, right. like, with the sexual harassment, but, like, she was basically, like, can't do anything else. Right. I'm trapped.
She's done some stuff with a pseudonym, but the problem is it's not, like, a band, so she can't perform as herself.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, all right, just had to mention that
I think
quick.
That's cool, and also, because I was thinking about House of Leaves, because everyone really, really into Stranger Things, and there's a lot of similar... If you haven't read House of Leaves, you have to... But the thing about House of Leaves is you have to have the book.
Right.
It's a physical book thing, because I started reading it in the physical book, and then I tried to get... I got the digital version, and I'm like, this isn't working.
Not the same thing.
So
that's one of the ones Matthew wants to sell at this place.
Because
you have to have a physical thing for
it. It's kind of like S in that there's multiple, except it's even more meta than S on some parts of it, because there's... So basically, the story itself is like this guy telling his experiences about this, what's happening, and then there is footnotes, and then there are notes, so then it's annotated by this other guy, and then the version that you have, the reader has, it's a secondhand copy that this other guy is also reading, we're reading with this guy, and stuff is happening on each level. That's really scary. There's like three levels.
That's awesome.
And it's really freaky.
So you have to have the book.
You have to have the book. Yeah. And it's really nuts. But I really recommend it. And then let's see. We saw two movies.
Yep.
I guess we can just talk about that and then probably wrap it
That's
up.
Probably
it's probably
good.
Marmaduke time.
Yeah.
We went and did a double feature at the Harkins.
Yep.
We saw with the kids. We saw Pete's Dragon.
Which was great.
It was so good. Okay, I did find out it does take place in the 80s, but they managed to not reference a single 80s pop culture thing.
Yeah.
But it does take place in the 80s.
I mean, the only thing that like,
makes
you
even
off is
the record.
And... when they're in the car at the beginning, the hairstyle is kind of 70s-ish, and then, like, it fast-forwards 6 years.
So it does take place in the 80s, except it doesn't
really
rely on pop culture references.
Yeah.
So it's really well done.
But there's no cell phone, so there's no, like, modern references.
Carl Urban's a jerk, man.
I know. He's so good, though, because I'm like, oh...
And
it's bones.
It's always funny when Wes Bentley. Wes Bentley. I think Wes Bentley's a great actor, but he like fell off the face of the earth pretty much. But every time he pops up, I'm like, he's really good.
He's really good.
Because he was also in Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, right?
And like, did you ever see The Four Feathers with like him and Tobey Maguire and
I don't think I
where
saw
they
that.
Were like Foreign Legion guys or something?
No, it looked good.
It was good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Because it talks about a period of history that, like, not too many people talk about or know about.
Right.
And I thought it was good. But because, like, he had his huge breakout. Like, he was one of the, like, American Beauty. Like,
right.
And then he just kind of didn't really do much after that. And he also, like, it's one of those things, like, we joke around about, like, where, like, there was, like, an improved model showed up. Because Milo Ventimiglia... basically is like a better looking version of Wes Bentley. It's kind of like what's that dude that was in because now he's in Agent Carter again. He popped up again. The agent, the other Which agent one? Dude in Agent Carter, the boss. What's that guy's name? Chad Michael Murray.
Oh,
I always joke around that Channing Tatum was like the better looking. He's like the model, 2. The newer 0. Model that came around. And
right.
then because, yeah, like it's sometimes that happens.
But he's really good.
He is, and he was great in that.
Yeah.
And, dude, Ron Howard's daughter, Bryce Dallas Howard
was
and the kids, the two kids were great. Robert Redford was awesome. And and Elliot the Dragon looked amazing.
Yeah.
They did a great job. Because, like, I feel like the trailer just gave this really weird vibe.
Yeah, and
like,
it doesn't...
like, super weird vibe.
You don't get a good look at him, but he kind of looks more like the original Pete's Dragon than you would think it does.
Way more than I would have thought.
Yeah. It's just really, really well done.
It's a really good movie. And it was just a great message.
One of the ones that I don't think that the trailer did it justice.
The trailer didn't do it justice at all, because the trailer was weird.
Yeah, and it felt like, is this like a scary thing? Like, what are we talking about here?
Like, the trailer made it seem like super dark.
Yeah, and it's not.
No.
It's not. I mean, you know, there's drama.
It's very true to the original.
Yeah. I'm bummed that it did not do as well. I mean, I don't know what they're expecting it to do, But I'm kind of bummed that Sausage Party made more money than Pete's Dragon, I gotta tell
you. Well, now, do you hear what happened with Sausage? There's some controversy that just started brewing. I guess, like, half the animators didn't get credited. They were, like, treated and paid like crap. Like, they basically, like, they're ticked off.
Oh, man.
And they're, like, this might actually, like, lead to, like... Because, you know, like, forever, like, animators have tried to, like, unionize and... Right. Because they just get so... Like, visual effects houses, like, on these movies that are making tons of money and doing... And, like, the visual effects house is going bankrupt because they're just, like...
Even on a huge hit movie,
And so this might be, like, this... This is it. Like, this might be the straw that broke... Because, like, there's a lot of talk... Because I guess I'm friends with a lot of people, like, in the business and stuff. There's a lot of talk happening. Huh. There's a lot of angry Facebook posts.
Now... Just don't get me wrong. I'm not like blanket smashing Sausage Party. I haven't seen it. It might be funny.
Derek said it's the worst movie he saw.
It looks stupid. And my point is, I think Pete's Dragon. I'm going on an educated guess. I think Pete's Dragon is something that deserved, I think, more attention. It was really good.
The music, especially, was great.
Yeah.
We found out Bonnie Prince Billy did the original songs.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Cool.
It really had a vibe. Because, you know, like, they had a lot of the folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of captured that, I thought, really well. It had a really good feel to it. It looked really
good. Kids loved it, too.
Kids loved it. I think there were a few times where they got a little freaked out.
Well, there was some peril. It was PG, and there was some definite, like, parent peril.
Well, immediately parent peril.
I mean, it's a Disney movie, so you know the parents aren't going to live. Like, yeah. That's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
But it's...
There's dead parents.
Yeah, that's how a Disney movie starts.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know, I just really, really liked it. I thought it was fantastic.
I liked it too. And then, so you had just told me we were going to go see this Meryl Streep movie. I hadn't heard anything about it.
You know I don't like Meryl Streep. And you
were like, she plays a bad singer. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's the new Stephen Frears movie. And like, he directed like a bunch of great movies. Queen, High Fidelity. I mean, going back even farther, like a lot of great movies. So I'm like, all right. And it also, it has Hugh Grant. Right. And I'm like, I'm on board. And then it's a true story. I'll let you, is something you have been into for a long time.
Like in college, I found out about this. Her name is Florence Foster Jenkins. In case you like don't know the story, she was like a socialite, like in the,
she's a wealthy socialite
in New York. And this is what, like the 40s?
Yeah. Well, but she died in like 48. 44.
Yeah. Something like that. And she, you know, was a patron of the arts. She was wealthy. She had all these, like, clubs. She performed and stuff. But one of her things was she liked to sing these concerts. And she became wildly popular with her, like, little small group of people. But she was, like, the worst singer. She could not carry a tune. She had no sense of rhythm. If you're questioning whether you should watch the movie, just look up some video footage or, you know, some audio of her recordings. And it's atrocious, and yet she had these huge followings. She sold records. She performed
at Carnegie Hall.
And I was obsessed with it. We used to look it up in college and listen to her stuff, and it's funny, but also like amazing that she did this stuff. I found out that quote.
She did say it.
That's her quote.
She said that. I looked it up.
Which too. I don't want to spoil it because it's like just fantastic.
It's a great line. It's basically the line that Phil and I have like lived our lives
heard
by.
Us say similar things on this show.
So when we heard it from her, because I love how, because at first you're like, I love how the movie. It almost makes you feel guilty. The way they just lay out the story, they almost make you feel guilty for laughing at her.
Yeah, at first. Right, and then they kind of like allow
but
you
then they
to.
Kind of,
and then,
but at first they're like, oh, you were laughing at her? Well, here's her story. Right. If you didn't know. Because like, it's really sad. Like,
but it's also very
true. It's a true story, completely true.
Some of the like personal
they dramatize
stuff,
a little bit.
Obviously.
But the whole thing with like her like actor husband.
Yep, all that
they
real.
Had like, cause like, yeah, she didn't. She came up with let the cookies.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the last
original,
line.
Let the cookies cool.
And you as a Streep hater though, but you gotta admit she was incredible.
Well, that's the thing. When I heard about this movie, I'm like, I don't like Meryl Streep, but I'm so obsessed with Florence Foster Jenkins. I'm going to see the movie regardless. And it turned out that being a bad singer is something she's good at. So
she was amazing.
No, she was. I here's the thing. I think she deserves an Oscar for it, hands down.
She might get it because, I mean, like, Academy loves her.
And this is a spectacular performance. Because the singing, too. Did she do her own singing? I think she did.
Well, like, when she was doing all the, like... yeah, that's her.
I mean, it's hard to sing bad that well.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. She is, like... It's just insane. It's insane. It was so good. I love it.
And the dude from Big Bang Theory that plays her pianist.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that show.
He was
so funny.
He should be a supporting actor.
He is so funny. And Hugh Grant is fantastic. Yep. And I also like that, like, they, like, it's cast, like, the age difference, because, like, he is younger than Meryl Streep, but it's all appropriately.
Right, that's how
like,
it
it's
was.
It's age appropriate cast. And it actually, yep. like, I thought it was very great. Like, yeah, like, she's married to Hugh Grant, and, like, and, like, it's all age appropriate. They didn't, like, cast, like, I don't know. I just like their casting choices. And it's just really well done. It was really funny. It was really sweet. Just really great performances all around. Just really great movie that everybody should watch.
Everybody. It's fantastic.
But it's, like, totally going under the radar.
I know. It was, but I think it's one of those types of movies that that's what they expected, I guess. But
it's really great.
It's so, so good. I want everyone to watch it.
It was really entertaining.
One other thing about it, that I was just doing some more research and looking into it, is that there's definitely some question as to how much she was aware of.
Yeah.
In fact, in real life, apparently she was more, you know, people would like laugh at her concerts, and she wrote it off as that there were hoodlums and people that don't appreciate the arts. And they kind of showed that a little bit in there, but I think she was more aware of it happening and just thought those people didn't understand art, you know.
But it does seem like at some point the reviews did wear on her.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because I read some other articles and things and like interviews and stuff, and there was a particularly bad in the Post, which they did put in the movie, because like the guy, because the Carnegie Hall is what kind of blew the lid on it, because they couldn't contain it like they used to, and that kind of was when like the critics just really had like a field
because she had her followers that just loved her,
and then there were certain critics that her husband would pay off to write, but then like at a certain point you just can't contain it all, and so
just fantastic story.
It's
though.
So
fantastic
good.
Performances,
and then the fact that like this really happened,
and then it's real. So again, like,
and it's and then like it is true. The record label that she did the record, it's their best selling record.
Yeah,
they sold
times.
Every
yeah.
copy, and then it's the most requested archived file on the Carnegie Hall website
because
they have an archive of like every performance.
It's
insane.
It's such a good movie that I was willing to watch Meryl Streep, and I loved it.
I think that's saying a lot.
That's a glowing
review. If
you've
been listening to this show for any amount of time, you know how much Phil doesn't like Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Not only did I go, but I dragged you along and made Janelle watch
it.
And Janelle loved it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then I wanted to quickly mention, I finished Mr. Robot season one. It's amazing. Now I gotta watch season two, which is still on.
Right.
And like it's happening right now. So it's so good. And then we talked about this a little bit during the pre-show, but the Triumph Election Summer Special that's on Hulu. It's amazing, but I can only watch
it's
it in a short burst because it makes me so angry.
Yeah.
When he's like, because these Trump people are just crazy. But I love, like, Robert Smigel might be the greatest improviser of all time.
Oh, yeah.
The way he is able to, like, diffuse potentially, like, because he's, like, on the floor of the Republican National Convention
and, like,
with Triumph,
cameras.
Like, getting in people's faces with Triumph, talking to politicians, but he catches them off guard with, like, some of his jokes.
Yeah, and some
and
of the stuff he comes up with on the fly
under
is pressure.
Nuts. And it's, like, a high pressure situation. But, like, it's so funny.
It is.
And it's just, like, this whole, it just kind of emphasizes just how freaking absurd this
election
is.
Well, the part that's kind of gone viral-ish is
the focus group
thing, where they show increasingly absurd, like, horrible, racist, like, just awful things.
And then Trump people ask them,
like, oh, what do you think? And then they're just like, oh, this is great. Yeah, I like this idea. And
because the one you were describing, because I haven't seen all of it, where they, like, basically tell these people they're going to implant a chip.
Yeah, they're
into, like, Mexican.
Right, but they're going to trick them into thinking they're getting vaccinated for something, and really they're injecting, like, these electric shock things so they can't cross the border, yeah. And if they do, they'll, like, get shocked.
And then there
are people like, yeah, this is a great idea.
And then it's, like, stuff that, like, we did to Native Americans that, like, you'd consider barbaric, yeah. Like, basically infecting them with diseases.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
Basically, the whole, like, disease blanket thing, thing, doing it now to Mexicans.
And
these people are
totally
like, yeah,
cool,
let's do it.
And at the end of it, they get them to record testimonials, and the things they get them to say that they're like totally behind, it will make you cry and laugh at the same time. I don't know. You should watch it though. If you ever wonder if there's like a dark side of humanity, this shows it right there.
Well, I think we've been seeing it,
yeah.
But it's
also really
and
funny all through.
Yeah, Robert Smigel is just a genius, and I mean, it's just, it's crazy that Triumph still even works.
Yeah. How does everyone just not know about it? Because there's obviously people that just have no idea what he's going to do.
And then even the people that do, it's still funny.
Right. But still, the people that do, like, get caught off guard. I'm like, how are you caught off guard by, like, you know what he's going
to
do.
When he gets people that just have no idea what they're getting into, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
And I'm still count myself... That Comic-Con panel, I'm still think that
we got
that
to
might
see
be
live. That was one of the greatest things ever.
And people were getting like the fact that like people come and see, and like the fact that this puppet dog is because people. I remember people behind us were legitimately getting upset
right, like,
at things
know
that
what
he was saying.
Like, it's Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. That's what he does.
And like it's crazy that it still works and people still get pissed off or like just don't know how to deal with this puppet.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
It's definitely not safe for work, but the crazy part is that Triumph is like the least offensive part of it.
It's the most mellow you'll ever see Triumph.
Yeah, everyone else, I think even Robert Smigel's
like,
there's
a few times where Robert Smigel is like blown away, like what he's in, like there's a few times where even he like is like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like when he finds that Hillary Clinton shirt
that he just
he joked
came up with the
about.
Most absurd, horrible thing he could
he's
think
like,
of.
Where can I find this shirt? And some guy's like, it's right down there.
He's like, no, it's not.
And he's like, get the...
No, yeah, no, it's not. And they're like, yeah, it's right over there.
Just like every horrific thing. And he's basically, like, I remember at some point he just says out loud, he's like, they're just selling hatred.
Yeah.
Like, they're just profiting off of hatred. And then he sets up his booth.
Oh.
Because that's when he's like, that gives me an idea. And then he has, like, the dunk tank with, like, the Muslim guys and, like, the gay guys. And he has, like, he's like, global warnings for pussies, right? And then the guy's like, yeah. And he hands the dude a bat. And there's a dude dressed up as a polar bear. And this dude is, you can tell he's actually
like
mad. And he's, like, beating up this polar bear.
It's crazy. It is, it's like, it's funny and it's a weird, like, look at just, like, the social, I can't believe this stuff exists. It's just hard to believe. It's hard to believe there's people that are behaving that way, in mass, in public, proud, loud and proud, out
it's
in front.
It's really nuts.
So anyway.
I'm continuing to just spiral into, like, these music documentaries and punk and, I mean, when you came in, I had Bad Brains on and, cause I was watching this documentary, it's on Amazon. It's called Salad Days, A Decade of Punk in Washington, D.C., 1980 to 1990, which this was basically like second wave, the beginning of hardcore started with, and this was also like the start of Straight Edge.
Right.
It was like in D.C., like Minor Threat, Teen Idols, Bad Brains, Black Flag, like all these huge punk bands that basically started the whole like second hardcore wave.
Right.
Of bands, and like it all started, and like Ian McKay, who started Discord, which is still going on, and it's just cool seeing these guys because they basically bought this house in like the suburbs of Washington, D.C. They all, it was like a ton of dudes living there, and they've run their label out of there since the early 80s, and they're still going and like putting out records, putting out zines. And just that whole do-it-yourself punk scene.
That's cool.
It's just really, like, I'm sure you would love it because it also just fires you up.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just cool. And these guys are still going. They're still doing it. And like, just, it shows them, like, back then, like, they were just like, yeah, we're still sitting here. It showed, like, them and, like, they're like, maybe 19 sitting in this room. And then it, like they reproduce the same picture like 30 years later. It's just these Ian McKay and his friend, and like they're still just putting out records, and still he's been in like 5 different bands, and it's just really cool, and like it's just cool that that was a thing, and how much, and like just reading about, because Bad Brains, everyone calls them, they're like the Velvet Underground of punk bands. Like they only released like 3 albums, but like every band that listened to them, like everybody that listened to them started a band, so they're like the huge seed band, kind of like the Germs in the LA scene, like that basically started like a ton of those bands. Like they only released like 1 album, I think, and they were like huge. But there's always those bands, you know,
right,
those huge bands. And so very cool, and that's what I've been watching.
Sweet.
I did watch the very beginning. I watched like an hour in to the new Netflix show that Baz Luhrmann did. It's called The Get Down.
Oh yeah.
It's about basically the New York, it's like the beginning of hip hop in New York in the 70s.
Okay.
And and so far it's really, it's cause like, I like the kids that they cast, cause it's basically follow, it's like these kids in this neighborhood, and I think, like, so if it starts off in modern times, and there's like this rapper, and he's like at a big giant concert, and then it flashes back, so I think it's like how he became a rapper, and he kinda goes through the evolution of like, where it started with like these disco, and then it kind of grew into like hip hop, and like turntables and records, and like,
that's cool.
And but it's this fictional TV series. It's not like a documentary.
Right.
But so far, I've enjoyed it.
Netflix is on a roll.
Netflix.
Real quick, we were wrapping up the last bit of Kroll Show. Janelle and I watched it together, so we roll them, you know, we're savoring it. It's so last, meta at this
when
point.
When it gets like...
There's one where it's Bobby Bottle Service, and they figure out that he's haunted by the ghost of... his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so and then his original job in the show was he did the Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
But then he's hunting ghosts inside of him, so he goes to a chef played by Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
To have him shrunk down, because a chef can shrink stuff apparently, to have him shrunk down and go inside his own body so they could bust the ghost, or hunt the ghost out of his own body of his ex-girlfriend, and he takes the sound guy and his like partner guy along with him. So they're like inside of his body, shrunk down, riding like a jet ski through his bloodstream, and they have to go to his heart because that's where the ghost of all his ex-girlfriends live. But then he tries to get in, and the ghost of his dad won't let him in because he never dealt with that. And then his sound guy fights his dad and kills him, and then he gets out and they escape. I mean, like, and then like it's just like layers upon layers, and like it's just so ridiculous and awesome, and I love it. It's amazing.
So at some point, I know, like, if you got into the part where, like, Caesar's on trial for something, and then, like...
I don't know if we've gotten to his
there's
trial.
There's, like, something with Caesar, and then... Oh, it's like, it's, like, custody of, like, their kid. I don't... They get so crazy. Blah. Like, Caesar's in it, but then, like, the Oh Hello guys, like, show up and do, like, Too Much Tuna on there. Like, it gets... I think that might be, like, the last...
The Too Much Tuna guys are some of my favorites.
So you got the one where they're, like, in the hospital, and he's like, you have mercury poisoning. Like,
would you say it's too much tuna? She's like, I don't understand.
You're dying. You're
but would you say I ate too much tuna? I don't understand what's happening now.
I'm bummed we didn't go. I think they're. Hopefully, they'll do a hello again out here.
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, see you live.
Oh, hello.
I don't think it did very well when they did it out here.
That's a shame. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
Janelle would go to that because
it was
like
happening like right. I think there was stuff going on that weekend.
Oh, and then when the hello guys go to the pawn shop.
Yeah.
And then they like.
Then it's the pawn shop guys.
They bring all this junk and they're like, what about this? And the pawn shop guy is like, that's too much tuna. I love it. And then they're like, yeah, it's too much tuna. It's fantastic.
Dude, the pawn shop, now I'm remembering.
Pawnsylvania.
And it is a perfect parody of all those pawn shop shows.
Exactly. It's awesome.
But. My favorite, though, we already talked about this, was when Denise showed, they do the karaoke one with the L.A. Deli guy.
Oh,
what is it, karaoke?
Yes, he's a karaoke, what was he?
But then, like, it's like Denise's party.
Yeah, and then he has to go up and, like, karaoke battle her.
Yeah.
And then, like, the girl wins and he's all disgraced because the only song he knows is the L.A. Deli song.
L.A. Deli!
Oh, dude.
Talk about Kroll Show.
I know, it's so fantastic.
Forever. But you know what we need to talk about?
Yes, I do.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
All right, let's see. Remember last time we found out he's like this giant beast.
Last time we were like, he's a big, big dog. And this one, I remember the preview.
Yeah, he's like a huge, giant
his
dinosaur,
head
remember.
Is like, he could eat that child
right
now.
Yeah, with one bite. The woman Easy. Could ride on her on him and her legs would be like a couple feet off the ground.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start off. He's extra giant in this one. So one
Marmaduke
of the kids
like took some steroids.
He's extra huge for some reason. So the kid is leading him along on a leash, and they're coming up to these two kids who've got a rope across between two things, two trees. It says toll gate, and it says 1 cent, and it says stop and pay toll. And they're like,
I remember some kids in my neighborhood tried to do this,
right? Like bullies, right?
Yeah.
So the kid comes up, and the one kid at the toll says, no charge for you, Billy. And the other kid says, yeah, you're free. Or, yeah, free. And then they're walking along, and this kid's hanging over a fence. Hi, Billy. And he says, hi. Then another kid comes up and says, I'll move that wagon, Billy. He says, thanks. There's a wagon in his way there. All the kids
Marmaduke
on the street.
Marmaduke has never been this big.
No. He's, like, absolutely
like,
a giant.
He's, like, twice
like
the
Clifford.
Size of all of these kids.
He's become, like, Clifford all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And all the kids are going, hi, Billy, hi, Billy, hi, hi. They're all excited to see him. And then it shows them walk up to the front of the house.
Wait, okay, I have to look at this now. Marmaduke is bigger than the freaking door of their
house. Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
All of a sudden, he's become, in all of the pictures in this, he's a giant.
Brad Anderson's, like, on drugs right now.
So just now, like, Billy walks in the front door. I don't know why everybody says those kids on the other block are so tough. They're always nice to me. And
so
then
they're
shows,
nice to him because he has freaking mutant.
He has a giant, I mean, giant dog.
That would eat all of those children.
So first of all, we've got like an absolute
Marmaduke
no
grew
joke
like,
whatsoever.
Marmaduke grew like, there is zero jokes. And also, Marmaduke grew like 3 times in size.
He's a shapeshifter.
At some point, Marmaduke's just like, you know what, I'm bigger today.
Giant.
I'm bigger today.
Yeah, so Marmaduke
like,
can change form.
In that one, he couldn't fit in the house.
No, he would not be able to walk through that door. And this, in particular,
he's bigger than the mom.
His head, like, gets bigger throughout, where he's, like, grown to absolute giant size.
Like, what is happening?
And that's it. That's the whole thing. So Marmaduke is the giant that can change.
This is the ultimate Marmaduke is a big dog comic.
Yeah, he is the biggest dog.
He's the biggest dog ever. He'd give Clifford a run for his money.
Marmaduke is a big dog. That's it.
What was the other dog? Spot?
Spot.
Isn't there, like, a series of books about a dog that I think it was Spot.
Should be.
I don't know.
Well, that's it. Giant dog.
Giant dog.
That's what we got.
Giant dog. At least it's less unsettling than him talking to the television.
Oh my gosh. I can't peek ahead, but what I just saw for next week is gonna freak you out.
I wanna look now.
Should I just show you a peek of it?
Just show me a peek.
Look at this picture right here and what's happening in that picture.
What? What is happening?
I don't know. You guys,
what is that?
I don't know. Like, next week's Marmaduke is gonna freak you out.
That looks crazy.
Yeah. Okay, we can't say. Okay, we can't peek, but just trust me. It's weird. It's really weird.
Now I can't wait.
I know.
Cause that looks nuts.
What? Oh, gosh. We're entering a whole new realm of weird at this point. Alright.
We have to find the young Anderson.
We need to. We need to get him.
I forgot his
there.
Name again, but. We need to find him.
We do.
And just be like, dude, come on.
He can be on the panel with the people who open envelopes. We'll
tell us.
We'll unpack envelopes and unpack the weirdness of
Marmaduke. It'd be like, come on, dude. Like, we just lay it out. We're like, we're not wrong, are we?
Yeah,
just like
Marmaduke and envelopes. That'll be like an annual thing. I think that's a good combo.
Dude, Brand Anderson's kid, if you're out there, like, if somebody knows.
Please.
We need.
Tell us about
we need
this.
Answers.
I gotta know what's going on with this. What happened?
I still think it's gotta be that at some point he just didn't.
They're like, hey, isn't he extra big today? No, it's fine.
I think he's just like, whatever.
He's huge.
He had to do that like every day.
I know.
For however many, for
many
like
years.
Decades. You know they all probably cracked a little bit. If you didn't completely sell out like Jim Davis or somebody, that had to like wear at your psyche.
I would think
especially
so.
Especially if you, cause like at least like Peanuts, and Garfield, like, started out, like, normal. But Marmaduke, I feel like, was always just, like, nuts.
Yeah.
Or stupid. So, like, at some point, I feel like he probably went crazy, like, really quickly.
there's got to be some extra stuff.
Do you think like him and Bill Keane just like hung out in a bar somewhere? Just like, what are we doing? And everybody's like, hey, Bill, watch this next tomorrow. I'm going to make a Marmaduke where there's no punchline. You can't do that. No. No,
trust me.
Zero punchline.
No jokes.
No jokes. You do it too. And he's like, well, I bet next week I'm going to have it where Timmy's going to talk to a ghost. What?
That's stupid. I'm no, doing it.
Ghost Dad. Ghost Dad is in Family Circus. I get, like, I, dude, what if that was it? He's like, hey, let's call Jim. Jim, you're going to do a Garfield where no jokes. None of us, yeah, no jokes.
Just have him squish a spider this week.
All right, let me call Chuck. And Charles Schultz is like, I'm not doing that.
Come on, guys.
They can't cancel all of our comics if we all just, no more jokes.
And then Bill Keane, they're like, hey, you know one of those dotted line things? Yeah, no jokes this week, just dotted lines. Yeah, I'm doing dotted line, guys.
You're just doing the one about Marmaduke just being big, right?
Yeah, doing dotted line. Going on vacation.
Hey, guys, so I'm tossing something around. What if Marmaduke was, like, just possessed by the spirit of Phil's dead father?
Yeah, but, like, no one knows. Like, the reader doesn't know.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's good. That's deep, man.
It's deep.
Yeah.
It's about the emptiness of life and also the family ties that bind you even beyond the grave.
So he can, like, talk to animals and drive cars and, you know, understand humans.
Brad, what are you doing? I saw Marmaduke driving a truck the other day. Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever.
Whatever.
It's fine. No one cares.
You still doing those columns where you just printed people's dumb letters? They keep sending me these dumb letters about their dogs. I figured I might as well. Hey, this will take up some space.
No, Brad, come on. No one's sending those in, right? No. All right, you got me.
No, Chuck, Charles Schultz is like, I write them all.
Yeah, I just thrown him a bone there.
Here, Chuck, here you go.
My dog likes to lick the plate after I eat dinner. That's what those were. That's the whole thing. My dog Fluffy licks a plate after every meal, and then he draws a picture of a dog like licking a plate. That's the whole entire thing that those were.
I like to think that they all kind of were like, what are we doing, guys?
The cartoonist bar.
And meanwhile, Bill Waters is like, don't talk to me.
Yeah, I'm not, no. Yeah.
He's like off in his like, he's like, you guys are all sellouts. You're all just like hacks.
And Gary Larson hacks. Is just like in a laboratory, like creating something and jotting down notes meanwhile.
And Waterson's already like planning his exit strategy.
He's already retiring.
He's like, when I hit this much money, I can just go away, and I'm not selling anything, and I'm going to just go around. Because I still think Waterson, like, secretly goes around and finds cars with those Calvin peeing stickers and, like, keys the car. Just, like, secretly just, like, scrape.
Yep. He's got to. That's he's got the money.
Because he's like, what? He's like, screw you guys. Because, like, those are the worst.
Yeah, they are.
Right up, like, the only thing it's not, I guess it's not as bad, but the one Calvin praying.
Yeah, or, I thought you were just going to say the whole other category is the, like, the fishes eating each other, and the Darwin eating the fish, and the fish eating the Darwin.
Well, now it's all the, like, here's my family, and there's, like, all the different, like, here's all fish, and here's a bunch of people, and there's this one, and I don't know.
Those ones drive me nuts.
I still want to do one where it's, like, me and, like, my television. I saw the one that I did see one where it was a guy in, like, bags of money.
That's funny.
But, all right. I think that's going to do it.
I think it is, too.
Past time. But this was great. Comic-Con Palm Springs is going to be great.
Coming up. Come join us.
And
you've got the whole schedule.
This Sunday, if you're in Los Angeles, come to Comic Book Sci-Fi Con at the Reef. I'll be there. Derek will be there.
Andrew Lindy.
Andrew Lindy will be there. And Derek's friend, Pat.
I should mention that schedule I read out is probably subject to change. Like, I'm not, like, officially releasing you know, so whatever. But
it is the schedule.
That's what the schedule is so far.
By the time you read this, it may or may not be up at ComicConPalmSprings.com, but that is where you go buy your tickets.
That's right.
Or on Groupon.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be super great, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Sounds good.
And so for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
it go.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Feeling peckish this midnight? Sate your appetite for terror and reserve your ears for a feast of the sound. The Midnight Marinera podcast is here for you, intrepid listeners. We sample only the finest in sinister stories and, coating them with our own unique spooky sauce, present them to you as eerie audio dramas. Tune in twice monthly as Midnight Marinera sends shivers of fear and spasms of laughter through you. Bon appetit!